It's the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis right here.
Yes.
WGN. And I... Wow. Woo! Woo-wee! Mm-hmm. What an odd week this has been, and it's only Tuesday. A.B. Stoddard is joining us from Washington, D.C., and I want to start, A.B., with a story that has... kind of popped out around about 2 o'clock this afternoon, that last year there was a letter that was written by a person who said to have been a senior staff member of the White House who was writing an anonymous op-ed. It was in the Wall Street Journal, right? Or was it the Post? I can't even remember now. But there was an anonymous op-ed that said, hey, don't worry. There are adults in the room. We're trying to curb some of the president's more political but less diplomatic instincts, or what, however they put that, and that it's okay. We're adults in the room. Now, that person, that same person, is said to be releasing a book in a couple of weeks called The Warning about Donald Trump. And this is somebody who was inside, who claims to have been inside next to Trump for a number of years in the White House. What are we to make of this? What is official Washington making of this, A.B. Stoddard?
Well, so interesting how immediately tons of people jumped on this as, you know, such a cowardly act, and all these brave diplomats are coming in to give depositions, and they're defying the Trump administration, and they're risking getting fired and facing all this heat. And, you know, this person thinks they can just wimp along writing op-eds for the New York Times and working in, still working, apparently, in the Trump administration, reportedly in the Trump administration. You know, I have mixed feelings. I mean, I get the point that they're making, but at the same time, this person knows a lot, and the book is coming soon, and they're doing it, you know, for, I guess they're not taking the advance, which could be incredibly hefty, and they're going to donate royalties to the White House Correspondents Association and other, like, free press, you know, outlets or ventures or missions. So it's interesting. It's stunning. And it'll be interesting to see if you know, what happens to every time there's been anything like this. There's always a hunt for leaks in the Trump administration. They're going to find the leaker. They're going to find the leaker. And I imagine the days to come are going to be quite interesting because they're on the hunt for the leaker for Anonymous. And I don't know. I guess the person doesn't want to be out, but it sounds like they're really taking a big risk that they're going to be outed.
Don't you think if you're writing a book, I mean, how do you promote this book? How does it move from here? It just seems that now that person will, with all likelihood, be outed by the very nature of taking this step.
I don't think they're interested in promoting. I mean, they're not going to go on TV and on a book tour, but they know it's going to sell. So,
But when you have this much detail, too, when you kind of start knowing, being able, if you're in those circles that you're in, be able to start whittling down to find out who it is.
That's what I would assume. That's what I would assume. And I don't. I don't know what they've done to protect themselves with the, you know, whatever they're going to detail specific scenes or participants, you know, or documents. I have no, we know we have no idea,
right.
But it is, it's so interesting, the timing, because it comes where we just have this cascade of really increasingly on the record, you know, I mean, not only the testimony in Congress about what is now a legitimately, you know, backed by evidence, official, you know, quid pro quo, like it's not, we're not in, you know, it's not in doubt anymore. But then you have, if you look at Brett McGurk, who is the envoy for in the fight against ISIS for President Trump, what he said about him last week on the record, Admiral McRaven's piece in the New York Times, there is this cascade of just, you know, things coming out into the official record with people speaking openly on Syria as well as these other matters, that it does sort of seem, it seems like a real kind of you know, a big storm. And it's just, it's, I don't know if this book will lead to more of it or, you know, or what, but
let me,
just the timing of it is kind of kooky, you know?
Yeah. And, mm-hmm. and I'm sort of in the chorus of people though, that believe that whoever this person is should step out of the shadow. Because yeah. we don't know what we can believe and we can't believe. We'll give credibility, especially if it's a name that people have heard of, that could put a face with, oh, yeah, I saw that person on television, or I saw that person defending the president at some point. You know, so they would know that they were actually in the administration. I'm assuming that the publisher claims to know who this anonymous person is who's writing this book, who wrote the editorial last year saying that there are adults in the room around Donald Trump. But now this is a book coming out called The Warning, which is going to look totally differently at this and say this is an argument for why Donald Trump should not be reelected. Is that's the way that the publisher is putting it out. And the publisher says they know who this person is and that they are standing by the fact that this person is actually who they say they are and actually had this position in the White House. So that's I just think that there's too much of a magic trick to it. I mean, I understand the marketing of all of these things, and it just eventually, I think this person does have to come forward. And remember, Primary Colors and other books yeah. that were written by anonymous people, mm-hmm. that never holds. Now, there are some people, you know, the whistleblower here, there are laws that protect a whistleblower in the Ukraine situation, right? That's a different situation. This is not somebody who went through the whistleblower channels. This is somebody who's written, you know, has gone public before they went through a whistleblower channel. So there are no rules specifically about protecting that person. So I think it's almost in that person's best interest to come out. But having said that, you got the president who right now does have all these things coming at him. And yet, last night, he goes on Fox News Channel. He sat down yesterday afternoon in Washington at the White House, outside of the White House, with Sean Hannity. And for the full hour last night on Hannity, the president tells his side of the story. And I think if you're just watching if you're watching Hannity and you spend most of your time with Fox News Channel and then reading stuff, you're in your silo as the Democrats are in their silo. You're not going to believe any of this anyway, because the president, as a matter of fact, my mother, to no less an authority than my mother, A.B. Stoddard, said to me today that she watched. She goes, he made a lot of sense last night. He seemed like a totally normal guy. So and he was calm. You know, he wasn't screaming and yelling like he would be at a rally. He was calm with Hannity last night and telling his side of the story. Now, you can go fact check a lot of the things that he said, and they're not going to add up. But I don't think that his, and I hate to keep using the term base, because I think that doesn't really tell the whole story. But I think that those who would be partisan to him are going to believe him.
Right. I completely agree. And, the book, the anonymous book, will just be another, a big fire alarm about the deep state that's trying to oust him and all this stuff. And that I don't think any of this will change things with his base. His base is not enough voters. His reelection plan is to depress vote on the other side, to make it all such a nasty situation and lots of, ways of using targeting of ads to make sure the Russians helped him. The Russians did this in 2016. They'll do it again. But the Trump campaign is going to try to, tell voters that are not predisposed to him that the Democrats have let them down, don't represent them anyway. And then register. He will be able to register some new voters, and eke it out. That's his plan. The worry for him right now is whether or not, as these revelations pile up, he loses support of the Republicans in the Senate in enough numbers that it's electorally damaging. He's not going to get convicted. There will not be 20 senators voting in a trial to remove him from office. But if he's impeached by the House and it moves through, into early next year. And I think that, the best thing for President Trump is if they did do it by Thanksgiving and they rush it out and people were able to say on the Republican side, I just can't impeach him over one phone call. But the longer this goes and the more broad and deep it becomes, the more painful it is for Republicans to defend it. And if you look at the fact that six of them are up for re-election, five are retiring, and then you have Mitt Romney, you have a universe of 12 people from which you could end up with six Republicans looking at the history books or looking at the polls in their reelection. Senator Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has made it clear throughout his career, without saying these words, that he cares about being majority leader no matter what. more than he cares about being minority leader under President Trump. He cares about keeping the Senate majority, even if it means a Democratic president. So if this rolls into next year and they throw the book at him, I would think it would be possible to get a really devastating bipartisan vote of 6 or 8 Republican senators joining with the Democrats. And that's the worst case scenario for President Trump, is that he can keep all those voters. Everyone can keep coming to the rallies, but that he is dealing with elected Republicans, some of whom are up for reelection, where these numbers are growing for impeachment and against the president. Some of these numbers, the National Journal reported in the last few days, are very bad news for Republican incumbents in Maine, in Arizona, in North Carolina, and in Iowa. Their numbers are underwater. Their fundraising is looking tough. And so 3 of them were outraised by challengers. And so if you look at all that, and then you look at the people who are leaving and are looking at the pages of history and not Donald Trump's positive tweets, you know, you're looking at Mike Enzi of Wyoming, Pat Roberts of Kansas, Lamar Alexander of Tennessee, Johnny Eisen of Georgia. Okay. You know, those are it's a different outlook for them.
But here's the thing that a lot of Republicans will say. They'll say, all right, fine. I don't love Donald Trump. I think he behaves boorishly, and he says things that I don't like, and I'm not quite sure I like what's happening in foreign policy. But what's the alternative? You hear that all the time. That's what I hear from people. So the question is Elizabeth Warren the alternative? I mean, depends on who the Democrats say. Like, on paper, you know, Donald Trump probably it would not get reelected, but in the real world of the United States of America, against almost anybody on that stage right now, maybe short of Biden, but Biden's a little bit banged up by what's happened here. It's sort of like, you know, which mess do you really want here? Is Biden just 4 more years of you know, some other corruption thought? Where do they go? Where does the voter go?
Well, these are different questions, right? Is Donald Trump of today up against Elizabeth Warren in a good position? I think so. But again, we're talking about, you know, what I was talking about with impeachment is I'm talking about elected Republicans having to look at what we learned today, we've learned. You know, that's a different question from like, oh, it's so binary and everyone's a socialist on the Democratic side. I think the Democratic Party, we've had this discussion on your show before, is in real trouble. They're very divided. Biden's looking like he's running out of gas. I'm not going to make it to the general. Elizabeth Warren looks like she can't win a general. I mean, I agree on all these fronts. I'm just saying the reason you see Donald Trump lashing out is because the Syria thing brought a lot of people on the record. He has that there's an open sort of discussion about how he can't be trusted to make these decisions that are, you know, grave national security decisions. And then he's lashing out at Republicans in these interviews, telling them you better stick together. It's because he doesn't like things like Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, saying today, you know, I didn't have a conversation with the president about the Ukraine call.
He got fact checked by Mitch McConnell, which is
These are the things that are making the team Trump nervous.
Yeah.
Because the base is not going to budge, but let's see much harder the electoral climb is if he has Republicans voting against him in a Senate trial. So that's his worst nightmare.
AB Stoddard, thank you very much. Real Clear Politics. Thanks, AB.
Thank you.
All right. Let's check in now with Lauren Lapko. What's happening on the roadways?